This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking about the case against Lori Vallow Daybell. Some very interesting testimony last week, specifically from one of Lori's friends, talking about a confrontation that was had with Lori and her, seemingly somewhat out of character for even Lori Vallow Daybell. What I'm specifically talking about is a conversation that was had with her friend Audrey, where Lori kind of came out and flat out made a threat of, "You're so naive. Not everyone is as gullible," or whatever, "as you." I'm paraphrasing here. And basically threatening, if she says anything about Lori, that she will cut her up and bury her. Mm-hmm. Not normal things to say to your friends, even in like joking terms. And mm-hmm. out of character for Lori, because Lori has always been very religious based in her speaking. Like, it may be crazy, passive aggressive and evil, but still it will be based on some sort of like version of her interpretation of her religion. And I don't want to say biblical teachings, because half of it's just made up by Chad. But they were very kind of veiled. This was very direct. And at first I said, this seems kind of out of character. And when I just, mm-hmm. when I read about the testimony, I almost didn't believe her. I almost thought this might be a witness that's trying to maybe go a little too far, maybe wants to get a book deal or something, and she's going to have some shocking testimony. And then I listened to the testimony. I felt different. I felt like this woman was actually coming from a place of honesty. Like, she had this experience with her. At least she sure sounded like it. Anybody that's in this circle, I think they probably have a certain level of ability to lie or to believe things that may not have ever happened and then talk about them. But I don't know. With her, it felt a little bit different. You know what I'm talking about, Stacey? Do you remember this testimony?
Yeah, I do. And you make a really good point. If you are, I think even if you're having an argument with a friend, or you're having a disagreement, or you're telling them something in confidence, I don't think you ever threaten them. You say, you know, if you reveal this, our friendship is over. I can't deal with you. But to make such overt threats, to me, comes from a place of desperation. Don't you think?
I would think so. I mean, and what's creepy about it is the way that she described murdering her friend directly to her face is actually kind of the way one of her kids were killed, dismembered, melted in a bucket, and, you know, buried in the pet cemetery. So actually,
it's a little too graphic and a little too specific to just be, "I'll fucking kill you if you do this to me." Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to say, "I'll kill you, man."
Yeah.
It's another to have a description of how you would do it.
Yeah. To go into that grade of detail was a little weird. We got a caller that wants to comment on it. Yeah.
My name is Amanda Hazelton. I'm in South St. Paul, Minnesota. And I'm just calling. I just listened to the episode that I was talking about, the testimony of her first name was Audrey, regarding those threats that Lori supposedly made against her. I definitely believe her. I don't think she would have just made that up out of thin air. That seems like an odd thing to do. But my only question that I had about her testimony and that threat in particular is, you know, she didn't really talk about, you know, other than the fact that she told Lori she was going to be leaving the next day, you know, she didn't really explain what prompted Lori to say that. And so I think that's why it kind of sounds a little bit out there. But I would imagine there's more of a backstory that we maybe just don't know about, in terms of how, you know, if it was just the fact that she was leaving that made Lori mad, or if there was more of a, more context there, more, you know, that we don't know about. So I definitely believe her, though. So anyway, thank you. Bye-bye.
Her testimony was interesting. She went on for about 2 hours. And if you listen to the full thing, I think it puts more validity to her statement, because her statement came towards the end of the actual testimony. And through most of it, she was very emotional. You could tell, you know, this is not I'm just going to say that she's not that bright of a woman. I mean, and most of these people, I think, that were real tight with them, not that bright of people in general, because they went along with some of this stuff. When they're questioned, did you believe the zombie stories? And they're like, at the time I did. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, how? Why? Where? Why? There's something not right with you if you're buying into this insanity. So these are easily manipulatable people that are easy to fall victim to something like this. I do question. I think she raises a good point. What was the context as to why Lori suddenly said that? Because it does seem to have come a little bit out of nowhere when they were doing some cross-examination between the two attorneys.
Oh, and again, it lends itself to you're dealing with somebody who is not mentally there. That's the part that is overwhelming to me. There's no way that this woman is of sound mind. I don't know how she could be.
Audrey or Lori or both.
All of them, of the above. This whole thing is just so convoluted.
And that's an interesting thing because all these people that are testifying against Lori, I don't think unless it's a detective or an investigator or something, most of the friends, they're not, I shouldn't say just as wacky, but they're up there. I mean, they showed they were capable of believing these things and they were lucky they didn't die. But I think still hold some of these beliefs. They walk it back by going, well, you know, Lori was a bad apple. But if the right person comes along and says this shit, okay, sign me up, is how some of these people feel. And it's a real weird border because we're talking about magical beliefs, which essentially is religion to a certain extent. And I'm not knocking anybody's religion, but that's what faith is. It's believing in magical type things. And if you want to believe in that, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, except when it gets to be like really crazy and you're hurting people and killing people. Accepting something and any sort of religion, no matter what it is, you have to have a certain level of accepting things that you can't explain or understand. And for ease of purpose, I'm calling it magical beliefs. It's not to be disparaging. It is what it is.
Right. There's not a lot of proof of what is in biblical scripture. And I wasted a ton of money being a religion major back in a couple decades ago. I brought this up all the time to my professors. I'm like, where is the proof? Can you show me proof? And there really wasn't. You said, that's what faith is. And to a certain extent, people who claim to be religious, they do take that leap of faith. Mm-hmm. They do say, I don't have proof, but it's a feeling I have.
Sure.
And that's fine. But when it gets to this point, to this elevation, where you're using it to justify horrific acts, I'm out.
It's like, where does the line get crossed? Because you can go and look at their version of belief of things and Chad being a prophet and basically pulling things out of his ass and saying that this is from God and he was, you know, Jesus's brother or whatever. And they believe it, and if nobody's hurting anybody, is it that much more crazy or strange than many other religious beliefs or systems that have their basis in different things? So many religions, they're always, this is the one true faith. And some of them are just like kind of one-offs of each other, but they all want to be the one. So, and Mormonism and the LDS church, I feel like it did a pretty good job of really kind of going way off the beaten path of Christianity. And like adding in a whole new line of weird things, I guess, where we basically put the Garden of Eden in Missouri, and Adam lived there, and you know he had a Cracker Barrel that he ran for a couple years, and but there's just, and not to be disparaging about it, but at the same point, if you believe it, you believe it. And it's all accepting things that can't be proven. So what makes theirs so much more shocking than others? I mean, I guess it's the murder. aspect of it. But prior to the murder, these people got together, they talked, they commiserated on the things that they believed in, and people do this every day, all over the world, all over the country.
How is that any, to sound like a cynic, how is that any different than, and we've talked about this in other podcasts, but how is it any different than people who show up at a certain facility wearing the same clothing and they're screaming and yelling and rooting? I'm talking about football.
Yeah.
I mean, to a different extent, it obviously a different universe here, but we all kind of believe in the same things. We feel comfort being part of a group. There's nothing more sacred than walking into a football stadium and everybody's wearing the same color, but then you see that one heathen over there wearing the other color of the other team, mm-hmm. and you're like, you're evil. And it's just weird how our minds go to this
I should caution everyone because, yes, this is how people in Wisconsin think about football. So everybody in every other state's like, I'm in Denver. I don't feel that way about, like, right? Well, if you go to Green Bay, yes, that is pretty much the attitude.
It is, but it's a fascinating psychological experiment because it is just a game. But I've seen over my years, even at a hockey game in Minnesota, when I was growing up, I saw somebody get beat up because they were from Chicago.
Sure.
I mean, people really strongly believe in certain things and they will go to great lengths to defend it, whatever it is. And I feel we see that a lot with religion.
100%. I mean, obviously, you know, if the team loses, you know, it's not eternal damnation. So there's a little bit more riding on the religion end of things, but it's group thinking. It's, you know, it's a tribe. It's tribe thinking is what it is. And we're also engrossed in these sort of things. I guess my question is with something like the Daybells, because there's tons of groups like this that are out there that are small too. When or where is it appropriate for anyone else to ever step in and say, you know, you're going way too far with this? Do we always have to wait till there's murderous things going on? Or can we step in when they start believing that their kids are zombies or that people have the evil spirits in them and all that sort of shit? Because, I mean, it's on a path to no good when you start going there. It's like all the symptoms are there, but we can't officially diagnose this as dangerous until they actually commit the crime. You know, that's way in so many things in life. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that Lori spoke that way, going back to the main thing. And it also shows something. If that did indeed happen, it shows a level of evilness in her that is not just someone who is deluded on her religion and believing everything. It shows that she knows what she's doing, is very calculated in it, is putting up a guise of religion behind this hate and this murderous behavior to get whatever she wants in a very calculated way. And I think it does not bode well for her whatsoever because it shows a more collected, calm, and calculating version of her to do whatever she wants and remove whoever she wants simply because she wants that, not because scripture told her or a voice told her. It's because it's what she wants.
Yeah.
And that makes it a lot more scary, I think. I can almost understand the religion version of it where she's just kind of brainwashed and thinking these are the right things. Obviously guilty as hell if we're doing it either way, but it's more understandable that way. It's scarier when the person that's not an option, that's not the thing that's driving them. It's just them that's evil like that. That to me is even spookier. So
I totally agree.
Thank you for that thought. Our phone number, if you want to weigh in, 888-5-KILLER.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
888-554-5537, in case you don't do the words. 888-554-5537, 888-5-KILLER to remember it even easier. To weigh in on any of these topics, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases that we're following. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.